Good afternoon, everyone. The Torah in Parshas Vayechi, when describing Yaakov's brachos to his children, introduces the parsha with the pasuk as follows: Vayikra Yaakov el banav vayomer he'asafu v'agidu lachem eis asher yikra eschem be'acharis hayamim. Yaakov said to his sons to gather before him so that he could tell them what's going to happen at the end of days. The Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Nun Vav and Aleph cites from Reish Lakish, who derives from this pasuk that Yaakov wished to reveal the rest of history to his sons, but Yaakov was unsuccessful because the Shechina departed from him at that moment. This is quoted in Rashi Yala Torah. So because the Shechina departed from him at that moment and he was unsuccessful in revealing the Ketz Hayomim to his sons, so therefore Yaakov was concerned that perhaps the reason for this was because one of his sons lacked faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So to ensure him of their faith, they said to him at once, meaning the son said to Yaakov at once, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They proclaimed their faith to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the statement of Shema Yisrael. And Yaakov Avinu responded, Baruch Shein Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. And it's from this episode in history that we derive the practice that we have until this day to recite Baruch Shein Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed right after saying Shema Yisrael. This practice is cited in the Halach and the Rambam in Hilchos Kriya Shema Perek Aleph Halacha Dalid, and also in the Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Siman Samach Aleph Seif Yud Gimel. The Gemara goes on to say that based on this medrash, we should actually recite Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Sodom Lavoed in a very specific manner, and that manner is quietly. We should say it bechashai, belachash, in a silent type of tone. So why is that? So the Gemara explains that it's because we're trying to strike a perfect balance. On the one hand, Moshe Rabbeinu did not integrate Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Sodom Lavoed as part of Kriya Shema. So we might deem it inappropriate to add something to Kriya Shema that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't add himself. But on the other hand, Yaakov Avinu did say Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Avoed in response to Kriya Shema, as we learn from this week's parsha and in the Medrash cited by Reish Lakish. So therefore, we should compromise between the two, and we will say it, we'll add it to Kriya Shema, but we will say it specifically quietly. So let's discuss this din, this idea of Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Avoed and its relationship to Kriya Shema. Let's focus on a couple of questions. The first is going to be the din that we recite Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Voed quietly. Why is it that we recite this line quietly? What's the nature of the Gemara's compromise here to recite it quietly? The second question I would like to focus on is the nature of the insertion of Baruch Shein into Kriya Shema. What role in general does Baruch Shein play in Kriya Shema? Why do we add it to Kriya Shema? And the third question is going to be the circumstances under which we say Baruch Shem in response to Kriya Shema and other circumstances in which we might not recite it, and how those circumstances or how those differences might relate to the nature of the addition of Baruch Shem into Kriya Shema. So let's begin our discussion again with why we recite Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Voed specifically in a quiet manner. We already stated from the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Nun Vav and Aleph that the reason for this is because we're trying to strike a compromise between Moshe Rabbeinu on the one hand and Yaakov Avinu on the other. Since Moshe didn't say it, but Yaakov did, so therefore we do add it to Kriya Shema, but specifically quietly in order to distinguish it from the rest of Kriya Shema. So that's the Gemara in Pesachim on Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. But when we look elsewhere, so we find in other sources in Chazal another reason to say Baruch Shem specifically quietly, and that's based on a medrash from Dvarim Rabbah quoted in the Tur in Aruch Chaim Siman Tav Resh Yud Tes. And the Tur explains based on this medrash that essentially where did Moshe Rabbeinu find the statement of Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Voed? So he found it from the Malachi Asharis, and he quote unquote stole it from them and brought it back to Klal Yisrael. According to this medrash, not only did Yaakov Avinu say Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Voed, but even Moshe taught us to say Baruch Shein Kvod Malchus Olam Voed. However, he didn't teach it to us on his own, but rather he learned about it from the Shirim V'Sishbachos of the Malachi Asharis, and he brought it back down to earth. And since he took it from the Malachi Asharis, we don't want to call attention to the quote-unquote Geneva of Moshe Rabbeinu, so therefore we say Baruch Shem specifically in a quiet manner in order to downplay downplay it somewhat, of course not in terms of its importance, but rather to not call attention to its source, namely from the Malachi Asharis. So what's the relationship between these two reasons? Again, the first reason from the Gemara in Psachim that Baruch Shem should be said quietly because Moshe didn't say it, but Yaakov did. And the second reason from the Medrash and Dvarim Rabbah that we say quietly specifically because Moshe got it from the Malachi Hasharis. So the Magen Avraham in Siman Taf Resh Yud Tes Sif Ches argues that these two reasons are actually complementary. They're not even in debate with each other. Then he explains that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't decide to integrate Baruch Shem into Kriya Shema because he took it from the Malachim. The reason why Baruch Shem is not part of the text of Kriya Shema is because of its source from the Malachi Hasharis. So the Malachi Hasharis are the reason why Baruch Shem is not in Kriya Shema, and in that sense, these two reasons are actually complementary. However, as we're going to see in just a few moments, many others thought that these two reasons were actually in debate with one another, that these two reasons were not complementary, but rather exclusive. So if these two are in debate with one another, then what would be the nafka mina between them? So we're going to focus on two possible nafka mina. The first of which surrounds the phenomenon of Yom Kippur Katan. There's a practice on Erev Rosh Chodesh that some have to fast. And at Mincha, so at the end of Mincha, they recite Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and after Shema Yisrael, they say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Sod Olam Vo'ed. And the question that the Achronim dealt with was whether the recitation of Baruch Shem in that context could be said out loud. So the Noda Yehuda in his Peirush and Tzlach and in Psachim and Daf Nun Vav Ahmed Aleph argued that in that context, Baruch Shem would be allowed to be said Bekol Ram. Now, out loud. Why would it be the case that in that framework Baruch Shem could be said out loud? So the Tzlach explains that it's because the Gemara and Psachim's reason is not applicable in that context. After all, the Gemara and Psachim said that the reason why we say Baruch Shem quietly is because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't integrate it as part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But when Shema Yisrael is being said on Yom Kippur Katan, it's not being said b'toras mitzvahs Kriya Shema. It's not being said as a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So therefore, when we say Baruch Shem after Shema Yisrael in that framework, then it can be Baruch Shem can be said out loud, because after all, it's not an affront to Moshe Rabbeinu in that case, because only Baruch Shem as part of Kriya Shema would be a potential insult to Moshe Rabbeinu, but Baruch Shem as not part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, but rather just juxtaposed with the line Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad recited in other contexts like Yom Kippur Katan would not be an affront to Moshe Rabbeinu and therefore could be said out loud. That is the position of the Tzlach in Psachim Adaf Nun Vav. However, the Chochma Shlomo in Siman Samach Aleph and Orech Chaim disagrees with the Noda B'Yehuda, and he argues that even in that context of Yom Kippur Katan, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Sod Olam Vo'ed should still be recited quietly. In fact, the Chochma Shlomo says that whenever Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Sod Olam Vo'ed is recited, it should be recited quietly, except for one exception. What is that exception? It is the exception of Yom HaKippurim. On Yom HaKippurim, we recite Baruch Shem out loud. And why is that? Because on Yom Kippur, we are all considered like the Malachi HaSharis, in which case, we don't have to downplay the fact that the source for Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Sod Olam Vo'ed is from the Malachi HaSharis. After all, we are akin to the Malachi HaSharis themselves on Yom Kippur. Indeed, the Chochma Shlomo actually says that let's backtrack one moment. So the Chochma Shlomo basically bases his opinion on the second reason from the Medrash and Dvarim Rabbah. The Chochma Shlomo is saying that the real reason why we say Baruch Shem generally, silently, quietly, is because Moshe Rabbeinu got it from the Malachi Asharis, because its source is from Shemaim, from the Malachi Asharis. And that's why the one exception to it is on Yom Kippur, when we are considered like the Malachi Asharis. So if, in fact, the Chochma Shlomo says that the way that he knows that we base the quietness of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Sod Olam Vo'ed on the Malachi Asharis is because we have the practice on Yom Kippur to say it out loud. That is the raya, that the reason to say Baruch Shem generally is to say Baruch Shem quietly in general is because we got it from the Malachi Asharis. And since on Yom Kippur we're like the Malachi Asharis, so that reason no longer applies. So that would be one nafka mina between the two reasons, Yom Kippur Katan. If we pass in like the first reason in the Gemara and Psachim, then Baruch Shem could be said b'kol ram, since it's not in the context of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. But if we pass in like the second reason from the Medrash Rabbah and Devarim, so then we would say that Baruch Shem has to be recited quietly at all times other than on Yom Kippur. A second afkamina is the case of amiras kriyashma biyechidos, namely, if one is saying kriyashma not betzibur, but rather biyechidos. So it's interesting, the Truvos Vahanagos in Chelik Beis, him in Mem Vav, quotes from Reb Chaim Soloveitchik that the Grach had the opinion that when one says kriyashma biyechidos, so he can say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed out loud. And why is that the case? Because apparently the Malachi Hasharis would protest our recitation of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed only in the context of a Shira B'tzibur. Since the Malachi Hasharis are sharing B'tzibur, they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a unison, so therefore they're only going to protest when we do the same. So when we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed in unison as part of a tzibur, so that would find the objection of the Malachi Asharis. Masha Inkain, in contrast, when one says Kriyashma Biyachidus, so he's not praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'tzibur, he's praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu on his own. And therefore he could say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed out loud. Clearly, Reb Chaim here is going according to the second reason that we said before, namely the reason from the Medrash Rabbah that in general we should say Baruch Shem quietly because Moshe Rabbeinu took it from the Malachi Asharis. If we think that the reason to say Baruch Shem quietly is because Moshe didn't integrate it as part of Kriyashma, even though Yaakov Avinu did, so then there shouldn't be any difference between Kriyashma B'yechidus and Kriyashma B'tzibur. Kriyashma is Kriyashma. Whenever Kriyashma is recited, Baruch Shem should be said quietly. So that would be a second afkamina between the two reasons. So now let's go on to our second question, namely the role of Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed in the context of Kriyashma. Why is it that we add Baruch Shem to Kriyashma? So the truth is that this question might actually shed light on the nature of the compromise of the Gemara in Pesachim and Daf Nun Vav to say Baruch Shem quietly, to say it bilachash. So let's first just go through the two basic approaches as to the role of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed in Kriyashma, and then we will connect it to that other question as to explaining the purpose or the nature of the compromise in the Gemara in Pesachim. One way to view the role of Baruch Shem in Kriyashma is as an addendum of extra shevach, extra praise for Hashem, that is added to the text of Kriyashma. And that means as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu set aside Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and the three parshios of Kriyashma as the authentic text of Kriyashma. That is the text of Kriyashma that needs to be recited in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyashma. But because we have the Medrash that Yaakov Avinu added Baruch Shem to the recitation of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so therefore, in copying Yaakov Avinu, we also add it to the text of Kriyashma. And Baruch Shem becomes part of the text of Kriyashma, even though Moshe Rabbeinu didn't add it himself, and it becomes part of the text as an extra Shevach that we add to Kriyashma. That is one way to view Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed and its role in Kriyashma. But there is a second, entirely different way of viewing the role of Baruch Shem in Kriyashma. And in fact, this second avenue, or the second approach, actually has much proof and much evidence in the Psakim in throughout Shulchan Aruch and various poskim. So the way to formulate the role of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed according to this second avenue is to explain that it's not part of the text of Kriyashma. When you ask what the text of Kriyashma is the text set up by Moshe Rabbeinu. But nonetheless, we add Baruch Shem to Kriyashma because when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so we say the Shem Havaya in order to be Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim, almost like the Shem HaMeforash that was pronounced in the context of the Bis HaMikdash. And whenever Shem Havaya is used in that way, so then as a response to the pronunciation of Shem Havaya, we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. The proper response, the proper reaction to the enunciation of Shem Havaya used in this type of context of being Mekabel O Malchus Shamayim is the response of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed. And this idea that we add Baruch Shem to Kriyashma not as part of the text of Kriyashma, but rather as a response to the Shem Havaya that is enunciated as part of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So this idea really comes from the Maharsha, who connects Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed in Kriyashma to the Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Le'olam Vo'ed that was recited in the Beis HaMikdash whenever the Shem HaMeforash was pronounced. And this idea is also developed at length by the Rav, quoted by Rav Reichman in the Rishimo Shiurim on Maseches Brachos. So again, the two ways to view Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vo'ed and its role in Kriyashma, on the one hand, we could just view it as an addendum, as an additional text to be added to Kriyashma, as an additional praise to be added to the parashios that Moshe set up, or we could say that it's not really an additional part of the text of Kriyashma, but rather we say it as a response to the Shem Havaya that we enunciate when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I said before that these two avenues of explaining the role of Baruch Shem could be used to explain the nature of the compromise to say Baruch Shem specifically quietly that's mentioned in the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim says again that because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say Baruch Shem, but Yaakov Avinu did, so we say Baruch Shem quietly. What's the nature of that compromise? After all, how does that make anyone, how does that satisfy either party? Either say it fully or don't say it at all. But how is this compromise? It seems like it's, you know, almost posayach hashteya si'ipin. It's not really fulfilling either side. So if we think that Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vo'ed is really just an additional shevach, so then what we'll say is that this compromise is really like a policy decision type of compromise. It's more technical. It means that, yeah, you're right, we should be, we want to say it because Yaakov Avinu did, but we don't want to say it because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't. So therefore, in order to pay tribute to Yaakov, but not insult Moshe Rabbeinu, so we say it quietly. So therefore, it's not as much of an affront to Moshe, but it still does the job of paying tribute to Yaakov by adding it to Kriyashma. That's the simple way of explaining the compromise, and maybe the way that we've assumed up until now. But now that we've come onto this second possible role of Baruch Shem in Kriyashma, namely that Baruch Shem is not part of the text of Kriyashma, but rather it's a response to the Shem Havaya that's recited in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so then we can come on to a totally new and fundamental understanding of the compromise between Moshe and Yaakov, namely to say Baruch Shem quietly. And as the Rav explains in the Rishi Moshe Yurim, the way to explain this would be to say that we say Baruch Shem quietly in order to express that Baruch Shem is not part of the text of Kriyashma. We distinguish it from the text of Kriyashma with the audibility of our voices by saying it quietly. So by saying it quietly, we define Baruch Shem not as part of the text of Kriyashma, but rather as playing a different role, namely the role of responding to the Shem Havaya that was expressed in Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In addition, we should add another point, which the Rav adds himself, that if Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vo'ed is a response to the Shem Havaya in Kriyashma, so then really these two sides, Shema Yisrael on the one hand and Baruch Shem on the other, join together to form a holistic picture of Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vo'ed, as a response to the Shem Havaya of Kriyashma, partakes, it's really part of the Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim aspect of Kriyashma. Shema Yisrael is the essential Iker Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim, and Baruch Shem, in response to that, is basically the response to the Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim of Kriyashma. So what would the nafkamina be between these two ways of viewing Baruch Shem in the role of Baruch Shem in Kriyashma? On the one hand, as just an addendum of additional shevach that's added to the text of Kriyashma, or on the other hand, not as part of the text of Kriyashma, but rather a response to the Shem Havaya that's enunciated as part of Kriyashma and the Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim of Kriyashma. One nafkamina might be whether Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vo'ed is ma'akev the same way that Kriyashma is. If we think the same way that Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is, if we think that Baruch Shem is just an additional shevach that's added to the text in order to pay tribute to Yaakov Avinu, so then it's an important thing to do, but it's not going to be ma'akev the mitzvah of Kriyashma, because after all, something that came additionally. It's not part of the Iker Kriyashma that Moshe Rabbeinu took up. And in fact, that's the position of Bach. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vo'ed is not ma'akev. However, we find in the Levush, in Siman Tzamech Kimmel, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vo'ed is ma'akev, meaning to say that if one forgot to say Baruch Shem, he would have to go back and say it in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyashma. How could that be that Baruch Shem is ma'akev the mitzvah of Kriyashma? So the explanation would be that according to the Levush, Baruch Shem is the proper response to Kriyashma. It partners with Shema Yisrael in order to form the picture of Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. We enunciate Shem Hashem and say Shema Yisrael in order to be Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, and then we respond to that Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim with a Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vo'ed. So it's all part of the process. And that being the case, it's going to be Ma'akev, the mitzvah of Kriyashma. The Bir Halacha and the Aruch HaShulchan explained that this position of the Levush would apply only before one has begun to recite Ve'ahavta. Once he said Ve'ahavta, so then there's no reason to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Adonai Avod anymore. And the truth is that this makes perfect sense, because Baruch Shem, the role of Baruch Shem, according to this approach, is a response to the Shem Havaya of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So it doesn't make any sense to recite Baruch Shem during the rest of Kriya Shema. It only makes sense to say Baruch Shem juxtaposed to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, following that enunciation of Shem Havaya and Kabbalas O Malchus Shemayim. Another possible nafka mina could be the recitation of Kriya Shema B'tzibur, meaning to say, there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Samech Hei, in Aruch Chaim, that when one finds a tzibur that is saying Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so he should recite it together with them in order not to make it seem as if he doesn't agree with the statement of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So if that, in such a case, would one also have to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Adonai Voed? So the Mishnah Brura asks that he should recite Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Adonai Voed along with Shema in that case. The reason why is because it's all part of Kabbalah So Malchus Shamayim. So if the Tzibur is being Mekabal O Malchus Shamayim, and you go and encounter the Tzibur, so you have to be Mekabal O Malchus Shamayim together with them, part of Kabbalah So Malchus Shamayim is not just to say Shema, but also Baruch Shem, because Baruch Shem is the response to Shema. And they're two sides, two partners in forming that picture of Kabbalah So Malchus Shamayim. But the Rav in Rishim HaShiyurim again explains that if Baruch Shem is just an additional part of the text of Kriya Shema, so then there one would not have to say Baruch Shem in addition to Shema Yisrael when he finds Tzibur saying Shema Yisrael. He would just have to say Shema Yisrael, because Shema Yisrael alone would be the Kabbalah Samachos Shemaim. Baruch Shem would just be an additional Shavach that's added to Kriya Shema, and in that case it wouldn't have to be said in this case when you encounter a Tzibur and want to be Mekabal Samachos Shemaim together with them. Just to end off on one note of Machshava. So the halacha of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Adonai Voed, as we've developed, really centers on the encounter with Shem Havaya, with the name of the Ribono Shel Olam that marks his essence, so to speak, as much as we can. And this halacha reflects that confronting Hashem's name really requires of us two responses, and both of these responses contribute to authentic Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. On the one hand, the impact of Shem Havaya on us. When we hear the Shem Havaya, when we pronounce the Shem Havaya, the impact on us must be indescribably profound. We have to be overcome and overwhelmed by Hashem's greatness, such that Baruch Shem is really our only means of response. When we hear Shem Havaya as part of the Kabbalah So Malchus Shamayim, the only way to respond to that and react is to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Adonai Olam Voed. But on the other hand, as the Nefesh HaChaim explains in Shaar Gimel, he adds an additional reason why we say Baruch Shem quietly, and that is to accentuate the gap between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that gap is absolutely infinite, that there is no way to bridge the gap between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect, omnipotent, omniscient. We don't even have the words in order to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is in no need of our praise, and therefore when we say Baruch Shem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need it, but we need to say it. We need to say it because we're so overcome and overwhelmed by Hashem's greatness, but he doesn't need it because of that gap between us, and therefore we specifically say it quietly in order to connote that that really, in order to convey that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really need our praise. So these two ideas together, that we have to feel overwhelmed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness and feel the need to praise him, but on the other hand, to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our praise, so these really bespeak what my Rebbe Rav Rosenzweig calls the impossibly possible. And that is really man's obligation to cultivate a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, with the Almighty, with the unknowable, but also the knowable. With those two at the same time, that's what these two ideas really highlight and emphasize. Wish everyone a great rest of the week.